Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. God designed marriage, and as usual, things go better when we do things God's way. So this evening, we will hear the second part of Pastor Brian Grant's message as he continues to draw from the Holy Scriptures' wise counsel that provides a very practical recipe for a happy, rewarding, and God-honoring marriage. Bottom line, God's design for marriage follows the model of Christ and His church. So here again is Pastor Grant with the conclusion of his message, God's Grand Design for Marriage.
God not only designed marriage for procreation, He also designed it for protection. And one of the things that often cause great pain to our children is divorce. I'm not going to stay there, but I need to at least make this point. One of the reasons that marriage, the permanence of marriage, is so emphasized in Scripture is because part of our responsibility as parents is to make sure we are protecting our children. And one of the most painful things to a child is divorce. A few years ago, I shared an article from Building a Marriage That Lasts. In it, Dr. Armand Nicolai, a psychiatrist at Harvard's Medical School and Massachusetts General Hospital, made the point that 90% of children from divorced homes suffer from an acute sense of shock when the separation occurs. What was even more disturbing? Listen, are you with me? What was even more disturbing is that 37% of the children were even more unhappy 5 years after divorce than they had been at 18 months. You know, normally we say time heals all wounds. And what the research showed is that time did not heal the wounds, that the pain actually got worse the longer, the more time passed. So though people may often say time heals all wounds, that's not always true. May God help us to do all we can to provide the love, security, and the protection our children need. Don't have children till you are married. Amen. If you already have children, do everything you can. By the way, this message is not against those who messed up along the way. Because there is forgiveness in Jesus, amen? Oh, aren't you glad that if we confess our sins, He is willing, He is faithful and just to forgive us. God will forgive us. But listen, and He wants to help you, those of you who have already done it. He, if you will submit to Him and say, oh God, I am surrendering all to You. I want You to rule my life. He will help you. Amen. Aren't you glad we have such a forgiving, such a merciful God? Such a God full of compassion. That we may have messed up over and over and over again. But He will never say, I am sick and tired of you. He always wants to hear from us, no matter how many times you say, God, I really mean it this time. You said it before, and you messed up after you said you mean it. But thank God, He's so compassionate, and He wants to hear from you again, and He wants to hear from you even today. And I'm praying that there's somebody here, as the Spirit of God speaks, you will come to God and cry out to Him for His help. And He's willing to help. God designed marriage as a covenant, not a contract. Second, God designed marriage for companionship. Third, God designed marriage for procreation and protection. And here's the fourth thing. God designed marriage for pleasure. I think that woke up some of the men. I was riding on a bus years ago and heard two Christian ladies speaking. I don't remember where I was. And They were speaking about sex. It wasn't a lot of us on the bus. And it must have been some sort of a shuttle bus because it was one of those buses we sit facing each other. I remember the picture, but I don't remember which bus it was. But I know we're facing each other. And I'm right in the conversation. I'm not supposed to be, but it was a fascinating conversation. So what are they talking about? I didn't say anything after that she said this, but I was like, I better write that down. Someday that's going to become very helpful. One lady said to the other, ever since I got saved and sanctified, I don't have sex with my husband anymore. May the Lord have mercy on her husband. Somehow she had the mindset that sex is not something holy people of God should do, particularly with an unsaved husband. But sex! That's why we can tell, you know, sometimes when we have these messages, some parents are like, Pastor, are you sure we should be talking about this in church? Well, if we don't talk about it in church, where are we going to talk about it? The problem is, so parents, you need not come to me and worry that I'm bringing this up. Because you see, your teenagers are hearing about sex on the internet, they're hearing about it on TV, they're hearing about it from every dirty corner. They need to hear it right from the pulpit based on the word of God. Am I right about that? So let's go, okay? They have the mindset that sex is not something holy people of God should do, particularly with an unsaved husband. And if you're married to an unsaved husband, if you have that mindset, come and see Brother Peter so he can teach you what to do. But sex is not a dirty word. Sex outside of marriage is sinful and harmful. But the Bible teaches that the marital bed is undefiled. Amen? Amen. Even if your spouse is unsaved, God in his miraculous way, he sanctifies that marital bed. Amen? Amen? Sex is such an important aspect of marriage that God's word has a lot to say about it. So let's look quickly. I'm going to go quickly anyhow. So let's go quickly at three lessons we can learn from God's word. Is everybody awake today? I hope everybody's awake. The first scripture I want us to look at very briefly is 1 Corinthians chapter 7, which I'll be honest with you, the first time I saw it in the Bible, I was like, whoa, is this in the Bible? Yes, it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 3. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another. Do you know what we're talking about? Do I have to spell it out? I'll leave that out. I think you know what we're talking about. Do not deprive one another, except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Amen? Here's the first thing I want you to write down. Married couples have a sexual duty to each other. Amen? God expects married couples to meet each other's sexual needs. Hold your finger right there in 1 Corinthians 7 and jump with me to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15 to 20. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15 to 20. And here's how it reads. Drink water from your own cisterns. Are we understanding each other? Drink water from your own cisterns and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be only your own, not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth as a loving deer and a graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? Write this down. God designed sex not only for procreation, but for recreation, but only with your wife. Add that part to your notes. But only with your wife, okay? Procreation, but also for recreation, but only with your wife. Young people, those of you who are single, I hope you're paying rapt attention to what it says. So the Bible makes it clear the sexual responsibility a husband and a wife have, but it makes it clear. Make sure we don't get enraptured with somebody that's not our spouse. Amen? May we make sure we do things God's way. I'm going to say something in a moment. Here's a third thing I want to point out back in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. It says, do not deprive one another. Write this down. Sex should not be used as a weapon. Sex should not be used as a weapon. God has designed sex for marital pleasure. So please don't turn it into a weapon. But here, listen to this. But let's never forget. Young people, are you listening? Older people, you're listening? Our greatest, sometimes in school, they teach about sex organs. Our greatest sex organ is, guess what? Our mind. They sometimes don't teach you that. The greatest sex organ is your mind. Particularly for women. So instead of promoting safe sex, the Bible, let me back up. Let's never forget, if the mind is the greatest sex organ, how we treat our mates out the bed will impact what happens in the bed. Too often that's forgotten. I can treat my wife any old way. You know, not every husband treats his wife. Not every wife treats her husband with respect and love and care and gentleness. And today God is challenging those of us who are married. Let us treat our spouses with care, with tenderness. Because the greatest sex organ is the mind. And what happens out the bed will impact what happens in the bed. So instead of promoting safe sex, the Bible teaches that we should, because the mind Stay with me now. Because the mind is the most important sex order or organ. Instead of promoting safe sex, the Bible says we should save sex. Save sex for marriage. For God knows that sex is as much emotional as it is physical. And in God's perfect plan, sex should only occur in the safety and security of marriage, where there's no guilt or fear of consequences. And all you young people who think you're having a good time, you are making a mess of your life. It's going to have consequences down the road. And so I challenge you, if you are already on that path, stop right where you are and do it God's way. Amen? Because God knows that the best way is to do it His way. Well, here's the fifth and final point for today. Oh my, we chatted quite a while. Here's the fifth and final point. God designed marriage to reflect the relationship between Christ and His church. One of the greatest purposes of marriage is to symbolize the relationship between Christ and His church. So as I close, I want to leave you three quick parallels. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, very quickly, okay, as we try and land the plane on time. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31 and 32, the Word of God tells us there. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Three big parallels, okay, between Christ and His church. Number one, His love for us. His marriage to His church involved leaving, amen? It involved leaving. Jesus, as we see there in this text, Jesus left His Father's home in glory to make the church His bride. And on the cross of Calvary, He gave His life for us. Aren't you glad that Jesus left? Amen? Aren't you glad He left heaven for you and for me? He left. And He went to die for us. Listen, the salvation, the marriage between Christ and the church, the relationship we have is because Jesus left. And in like manner, Jesus says to husbands, we must leave. Amen? Listen. The day you get married, guess, men, you got to leave. Amen? Once we get married, we need to leave mom and dad and cleave to our wife. We can't be visiting mom every day anymore. Amen? We can't be doing that because we must leave. Secondly, the second parallel, it involves cleaving. Hebrews 13:5, the Lord promised He will never leave us nor forsake us. Once we are joined to Jesus, He will never leave us. He's going to cleave to us. And the question is, are you cleaving to your spouse? The idea is to stick like glue. Listen, but part of the big spiritual implication is that Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. I'm so glad I'm safe, amen? I'm safe. Do you feel secure in Jesus? Does your mate feel secure with you? I don't want you to miss the parallel. The same way I feel secure in Jesus, I must make sure that my spouse feels secure in me, amen? It involves leaving. It involves cleaving. And I'm so glad that the day I got saved, Jesus will never, ever kick me out. I was only 9 years old, but He will never kick me out. But third, it involves weaving. A couple becomes one at marriage, but there's a lifelong weaving that must take place after marriage. And my friends, salvation is the beginning of a new life in Christ. But there must be a continuing weaving that takes place after that. If you are saved and sitting and waiting for the rapture, you are a disobedient Christian, because God expects that little by little, every day, Jesus will be changing us. Yes, and in our marriages, we must make sure that there is growth, that there is a weaving taking place, that there is progress. Amen? But I'm so glad that little by little, Jesus is changing me. So let me ask you, as I bring this to a close, here's the most important question of the day. Have you started that relationship with Jesus? This whole thing, this relationship about marriage, is about Christ and His church. And when we really understand what God has done for us, when we come to faith in Jesus, when we determine to walk with Him, He will give us the help that we need to build strong marriages. My friend, if you don't know Jesus, I'm going to ask you right now to put your faith within Him. Come to Him. Come and receive Him, the Savior who loves you and left heaven so that He could die for you. I'm going to ask you to do that. And for those of us who know Jesus, I trust that today we will make a recommitment to Him. There are some of us who need to recommit to Him regarding our marriages, because things are not going the way they should. Some of you may, as you listen, you realize there are some areas. Don't be focusing on your spouse as to what they need to do. Today, God wants us to focus on ourselves. What are some of the things I could do as I seek by God's grace to make my marriage stronger? Oh, I pray that today God will do a work in each heart for Christ's sake. And Father, thank you so much. Thank you for all of what you put in your word that can help us build strong marriages. Help us to know how to please you with our sexuality and our sex lives and in our marriages. I pray, God, even for the teenagers who were here and the preteens that were here, that your spirit might have embedded something in their heart which will help them in the days to come. I pray, God, that indeed those of us who are married will be willing to recommit ourselves to you, to please you in every way. For the person who doesn't know you, I pray that right now you'll bring them to faith in Jesus. For Christ's sake, we pray.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.